Of the Daft on Draft podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Miller, joined as always by my co-host, Corey Kinnon. And we are going to talk about a topic near and dear to my heart today, and that is the Notre Dame defense. Now, I like the structure, the way that Notre Dame teaches their defensive players. But are Corey and I as excited about the players that are going to be on the field for the Notre Dame defense from an NFL draft perspective as we, or I am, the defensive structure? Corey, I can't do this alone. As I said, how are you doing today?
I'm living the dream. I've got a short week this week. So tomorrow is my last day at work this week. And then I have Thursday, Friday off. So I'm living it up. So we're a little busy at work these next 2 days, but other than that, living the dream. I got softball tonight. The weather's nice, so we're gonna live it up a little bit here.
There you go. Hit a dinger.
It's been a while. It's been like a year and a half since I hit one out, and it's kind of pissing me off. But
Yeah, that's rough. That is rough.
Yeah,
could never be me, baseball star. Man, never mind. I'll break that news when the time is right. Let's get into it. And do you want to just start off with probably the biggest name of the group? And start at corner.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. So, let's start with Christian Gray.
Yeah. So here's the issue is that, like, the players on Notre Dame's defense that I really loved aren't draft eligible. So it's like, we're not even going to spend time talking about Bryce Young, their edge rusher, or Leonard Moore, their other corner. They do have a safety, Aiden Schuler, who's also a redshirt sophomore that we didn't spend any time on because he's a redshirt sophomore. So, like, he could declare.
Yeah, I'm not watching
redshirt. Christian Gray is fine. Christian Gray is fine. Again, he's probably at the school that'll get the most out of him developmentally. But I think he's probably a mid-ish athlete. He's got some length, which is a nice advantage for him. I mean, do you see much more than like a pretty standard boundary corner?
I quite like his athleticism. The long speed really isn't there, I don't think. I think that's the biggest issue. And it's especially concerning because we saw somebody like Benjamin Morrison really not have any issues downfield. And Notre Dame teaches their corners very peculiar. It's a very peculiar way to teach man coverage, because they play on the inside hip of guys and they really try to keep over the top leverage. And so for Christian Gray, and some of them, a lot of it is double moves that he's just getting the eye candy on. It happened a couple times against Ohio State, even when he wasn't targeted. And I know Georgia tried to set him up there a couple of times and got him there once as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the recovery speed is there. I think he's a 4.52 to 4.55 guy. However, what I do really like is his foot speed. He mirrors very, very well. And I kind of tweeted out that, like, I really like the player overall, but I can't stand the player past 15 yards. And if you're going to get beat, I would much rather you get beat on a slant or a drag, or a comeback, and then get beat down the field for a huge explosive play. Because as we know, it is very hard to sustain offense at the NFL level. Explosive plays are game changers. And if you are a corner who is going to consistently allow big plays, which is something that he did, I can't have that. And so for me, I do like the player. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to be a little bit more responsible down the field. It reminded me a lot of some of the issues we've seen with Ohio State corners playing with their feet dug in at 10 yards, and then just not being able to swivel and carry. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the lack of transitional burst. ability to turn the hips and then like accelerate from 0 to 100. Like,
but my problem is he can do that going back to the football. He just can't turn and burn vertically.
Turn and burn. Yeah. Yeah. It's like what we loved about Savon Revel. I mean, Travis Hunter's like the very rare case of this. So the ability to like turn and then like, I think reacting to high lows is the way that I'm envisioning this in my brain right now. Like the ability to play the low, but like open and make a play on the football on the high somehow is something that I don't see that ability, that kind of recovery ability, that kind of transitional burst to be able to make that play as well. But again, he's at Notre Dame. He's going to be as coached as he can. He reminds me of like some of those, like we've had quite a few corners out of Notre Dame where they've gotten the most out of them, but like, once they get outside of that kind of insulated environment, it doesn't go well. Like Nick McLeod is a guy that I'm thinking of. He transferred from NC State to Notre Dame, played in Notre Dame for a year. Troy Pride is another one, although Troy Pride was a really good athlete. But like guys like that, they get out of Notre Dame and it's like, oh, they might have been insulated a little bit there. But I think that's kind of what we're looking at with Christian Gray. He could be a day two pick. He could play his way into day two. But he's definitely not a guy that I'm going to put any sort of like top 64 hype on at this point.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. I don't think so either. However, what I will say is the other corner that I watched, Devontae Smith, is the type of athlete that you could see being a top 64 to 100 pick. He's really volatile. He's very volatile in the slot for Alabama. But when he is comfortable, see, a lot of the times it was like, if he is comfortable with the line of scrimmage or if he is comfortable with the picture that's in front of him, he was really, really good. And I really actually liked him in trail. It reminded me a lot of y'all's Florida State guy who I didn't like, but I thought that I thought that Devontae Smith was a better athlete. And more comfortable in trail. Now, when he gets towards the red zone and he's dealing with physicality, he just kind of bear hugs dudes. He is grabby when he feels like he is panicking. And he does panic is what I'm trying to say here. But I do like the overall athleticism. I like the foot speed. He's, you know, that 5'10", 5'11", 185, 190 pounds. Like typical apex type guy.
Yeah.
And I also like that they used him a little bit as a guy who dug back into cover two every once in a while as well. And it looked like his eyes in those situations were pretty good as well. So maybe a guy who you want to play off of the ball and let him use his eyes a little bit more and use his athleticism than to just strictly put him at the line of scrimmage and ask for him almost to panic.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what's tough about when you say that, though, is like what kind of, like, it's hard to find an NFL fit of a team who's just going to ask their nickel to like go up and bang exclusively. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I guess there are some pretty strict cover one, cover three teams out there that might be okay with.
But there's
that,
also, but I mean, but also with a lot of these Vic Fangio teams and the Vic defenses with the cover six, and there's, you know, a lot of three buzz going around in the NFL these days too. Like I do think that like the safety slot hybrid player is actually becoming a lot more common in the NFL these days. And so maybe there is a role for him there, but maybe he's also a guy who actually just swings back to safety at the NFL level. I don't know.
Yeah. Could be the case too. What, and you said you think he's a really good athlete. I think he's a pretty good athlete.
Yeah.
I don't know about.
Yeah. He's not like Jeff Gladney foot speed out there. RIP obviously. But like, I think that he's a pretty good athlete overall.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just like, I'm always stuck in like, what's the best case scenario and what's the worst case scenario of his type, of his archetype. And like Sean Wade, I think is the example that I am thinking of where people like fell in love with Sean Wade but he never really found a super decent role. And they tried to play him outside corner, and he got cooked at Ohio State at outside corner, like to a brim, like to a
black crisp.
Yeah, so like, I think there's a pathway. We'll see what happens at Notre Dame, because again, we love the way they coach those corners. So we'll see what happens with Devontae.
We'll see if he can get on the field, first of all.
He's listed as their starting nickel on our lads. So we'll see there.
We'll see.
I would assume that if a senior's transferring somewhere else, they would have had to have given him some sort of assurance that he's going to see the field. But
yeah,
let's talk about these linebackers. Right now, it seems like Drake Bowen gets the most talk of that linebacker room. He's a fridge, man.
As nice as possible. No.
Yeah, and a lot of times he's just in an overhang look on 2024 tape, and like, there aren't a lot of need for overhangs at the NFL level. There just aren't. Like at the NFL level, if you're an overhang, then like, why wouldn't they just bring a safety on, or why wouldn't they just bring a base package that's like, you know, like or an extra pass rusher. There's no need for one of the other two. There's no need to do both, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like, but again, he doesn't move very well. His hips are stiff as hell. He's a fridge. I think he's got some decent like straight line athleticism, like explosiveness. But outside of that, man, he's got to guess right, or he's not getting here. He's not making a play. So he's got to guess right, because once he commits, the weight's not shifting.
I saw him struggle mightily with coverage responsibility when it comes to like switch releases and things like that. And that is not something that I'm used to seeing from Notre Dame defenders. That on top of the lack of athleticism, I just don't think he's an NFL player.
No.
I don't see it.
No, because like even guys like, I don't think Jack Kaiser was an elite athlete at Notre Dame last year, but his instincts.
Yeah, but Jack Kaiser was a much better athlete.
Charts. Yeah, exactly. His instincts were off the charts. To know where to get his eyes in the right place, or to get his body in the right place. Like then we're talking about with Drake Bowen. Yeah, I'm on the same agreement there. You wanted to talk a little bit about Jalen Snead. I watched Jalen Snead a little bit. He's a first team off the bus guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, he kind of looks like an edge rusher. Played linebacker, but rushed the passer a little bit as well. Rushed the passer from the edge and from the linebacker spot. Man, when he accelerates, it is noticeable. He gets to the sideline before the ball carrier, which is a problem because he consistently overruns plays to the sideline. He definitely needs to see the field more. He needs to get more snaps, especially when it comes to his coverage eyes. His own coverage eyes just are like pretty much non-existent, which kind of explains why they would rush him a little bit. Plus, he has some pretty decent length, and he has a little bit of bend. They used him as a blitzer, you know, like along D-line games, and kind of looped him around. And he was able to bend with a little bit of speed. He is an absolute wrecking ball. I mean, a straight up crash test dummy. He is physical as hell. He is going to run into you in the hole at 100 miles an hour. Now, he might allow the ball carrier to run right by him as he is taking on that block, but you best believe he is going to take on that block at 100 miles an hour. And so he's a really fun player to watch. And I watched him against Indiana, against USC, and then just on the side as I was watching some other games, you know, the championship game. And I really do enjoy watching the player quite a bit, but he's going to need an entire season this year of seasoning to be somebody who I can see stepping on an NFL field and actually being productive early on. He kind of reminds me a little bit of like an Akeem Davis Gaithers, where like the athleticism, the juice is just like crazy. And it's like, okay, so what do we do with him? And I hope that he finds a role as the Will there, or as a legitimate Sam somebody who rushes the passer quite a bit because we don't know what's happening at edge for this team right now. But a really fun athlete to pay attention to.
Yeah, for sure. And again, playing with a former linebacker, for a former linebacker. So the development should be there at Notre Dame and with Marcus Freeman. So with the traits, going to be interesting to watch for sure. Summer scouting is always so finicky because it's like, I want to make judgments on a player. I want to be honest about a player, but then be like, oh, but you can't really see into the future. So then you could set yourself up to, you know, but the defensive line here, they graduated Howard Cross, Riley Mills, RJ Oben. So we're looking at a lot of guys who didn't get to play a whole lot last year. Well, a few that did get to play quite a bit. One that was pretty injured last year was kind of explosive when he was on the field, but again, he's listed as a junior. So like Bobakar Traore, probably not on our radar quite yet. Bryce Young, a true sophomore, like definitely not on our radar right now, even though I think he's probably the best one in the room.
He is.
Which of the defensive linemen do you think we need to talk about? Do you want to talk about right now?
I don't really want to talk about any of them. Junior, Tui Halamaka.
He's got awesome aesthetic with the tape fingers and everything.
Yeah, the tape fingers. And he actually has a nasty little cross chop and rip to win on the outside. The issue is he's probably got 32-inch arms at best. Not a ton of juice. And, like, I think he played 400 or so snaps last year. He's just okay. Like, everybody on this defensive line, like, I think are role players at the college level. Like, it's just kind of like, if it's a passing down, maybe we bring this guy in. If it's a rundown, then Burnham's going to be on the field. Like, it is a, it's a tough lineup to really get excited about when it comes to the NFL draft eligible guys, because like Burnham's just a run defender. Like Patello is another guy who's a grad guy, but like he barely played last year. And Bobakar is the redshirt sophomore. Young's a actual sophomore. Like I just don't, these interior guys barely played at all. So it's just there's nothing to talk about right now. And what you hope from this team is that the young guys who weren't able to see the field because of how much talent there was for the upperclassmen last year on an obviously a national championship contending team, hopefully these guys are able to step up and, you know, show us that they are NFL caliber players that were hidden behind other NFL caliber players. But like right now, there's just nothing to go off of.
Yeah, completely agreed. They did transfer in another upperclassman rotational defensive tackle, Jared Dawson from Louisville, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've watched a single Jared Dawson snap at Louisville either. So again, a lot of guys that are just going to have to prove themselves in 2024 for this, or 2025 for this team that just went to the national championship. So we're going to see, for the most part, a lot of turnover in college football again this year. I guess that might just be the natural thing with the transfer portal now, because like it was a couple of years ago, it was like, oh man, all these upperclassmen quarterbacks are graduating. We're going to get a new wave of quarterbacks. And now it just feels like every year, like, oh, we're getting a whole new wave of like landscape in college football. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. Like Ohio State has zero returning starters, one returning starter on their offensive line from a year ago from week one. Notre Dame is overhauling their entire defensive line pretty much. Like, so college football year in and year out, I think the days of just seeing Georgia and Alabama dominate year in and year out are coming to an end.
Oh, it's gone. Yeah.
Because there's just so much more parity. And what's going to be really fun is if there's some of these schools that have a lot of institutional money start spending it as well, that like these giants can be built out of nothing. Like Liberty has so much money. Like what if Liberty just starts spending all those private conservative Christian donor money? Like Liberty could be built up, but that's off track. That's off track of Notre Dame's defense. But that's to say, Notre Dame's defense
is that far off track of Notre Dame, though.
academic standards wise, yes. But but that's to say Notre Dame's defense is outside of the secondary. They're returning just about everybody in the secondary besides Xavier Watts. But it's going to be a fun year. Going to be a fun year. Somebody's going to come out of this year with for
yeah, for sure. Though.
Somebody's going to come out. So, but that's a pretty narrow episode because, again, not a long list of prospects heading into the 2026 draft as we sit in June of 2025.
Yeah.
10 months out from the event. But yeah, I think that's all I've got, Dalton.
Same. That's all I got.
All right. Well, until next time, we did a Dafter draft last week. We'll probably do Dafter draft or a mailbag tomorrow for tomorrow's episode. So we can spend, you know, the kind of the cadence of the offseason till we get back to August then was probably going to be program, offense, program, defense, and then either Dafter draft or mailbag.
Yeah.
Or some other, we'll come up with a third topic thing we could do as well. But that's probably the cadence of the offseason here. So yeah, I think that's it for now. Until next time, this has been the Daft on Draft podcast.